32. Isaac. Activating fold generator in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Abel reached forward, tapping the button that would send them across 4 light years in a matter of seconds. Isaac knew what to expect. He had been through it once before. The ship's generator began emitting enough energy to pull at space and time, twisting it out of shape around them and piling one part of the fabric of the universe on top of another. While the fold on the way to Proxima had been nearly invisible, this one was a bit different. It turned the universe ahead into a spiral pattern, shaping the stars in such an odd way that Isaac's stomach immediately began to complain. He wasn't alone. Rico grabbed at her mouth with her free hand, and Abel shut her eyes, turning her head away. Looking somewhere else didn't help the nausea. It continued to increase as the ship guided itself into the fold, an unexpected force pressing in on them and spinning the ship as if it were an amusement park ride. Isaac was thrown sideways by the sudden shift, hitting against the bridge's port bulkhead. Abel was yanked hard into the back of her seat and then forward into her straps, as was Rico at the command station. "What the hell?" Drake shouted through the comm. The rest of the organization soldiers were in seats in the common area in front of the bridge. They hadn't buckled in. Traveling through folded space was usually a smooth affair. The ship redirected again. Isaac barely grabbed onto the side of the command station to keep from being thrown into the rear wall and then dumped forward toward the primary display. It was over in seconds, the ship becoming serene again as the fold generators deactivated and space flattened out on the displays. Isaac reached out to balance himself, his mouth filling with saliva as his body threatened to rebel. He closed his eyes and swallowed, fighting the urge to vomit. He opened his mouth to take in more air, noticing the others on the bridge were doing the same. For a second, Isaac thought he was safe. Then a new sensation washed over him, and he dropped to a knee to puke on the floor. He coughed when he was done, his stomach immediately beginning to settle. The door to the bridge slid open beside him.
"You too, eh?" Drake said, looking down at him. "Hell, Abel, you just made half my team wretch."
It took Abel a few seconds to answer while she overcame her own nausea.
"It was the new algorithm. I don't know what that was exactly, but I don't think any of us liked it all that much."
"Did we get to where we were trying to get to, at least?"
"It looks like it," Rico said. "Ship's computer puts us about 5 AU from Earth. We're closer than we expected."
"Updating ETA," Abel said. "Looks like we'll be there in 18 hours.
Harry said they thought we would arrive in 2 days. That's a huge win."
"Let's hope it's not the only one we get," Drake said. "Ike, there's probably a bucket and a mop in one of the storage compartments back aft."
"Isaac's a VIP," Rico said before Isaac could reply. "Lucius is the rookie. He's got puke duty."
Drake laughed.
"I'll make sure to tell him it was your orders."
"You do that."
Isaac got back to his feet.
"I made the mess," he said. "I'll clean it up. I'm a Space Force Marine, not a delicate flower."
"That may be true," Rico replied. "But we have other business."
She looked back at Drake.
"Lucius cleans the puke. Spot drives the ship. Got it?"
"Yes, ma'am."
"Abel, once you get us tracked for Earth, I want you and Bennett with Ike and me in the conference room."
"Are we in trouble?" Abel asked.
"We're all in trouble. I lost Austin over this, and I want answers. I think Ike deserves to hear them, too."
"Copy that, Major," Abel said.
"I'm not a major. Special officers don't have ranks, and I was a sergeant before I resigned from the CSF.
"That may be true, but we have to call you something. Ma'am is too formal, Rico is too informal, special officer is a mouthful, and spec off sounds downright dirty. You're part of the organization now, and Hyrie put you in charge of this mission."
"Major it is," Rico said. "You okay with that, Ike?"
"It's fine with me," Isaac replied. "But we didn't ask to be part of the organization."
"Do you want to stop the Relia from enslaving humankind?" Abel asked.
"Yes."
"Then why wouldn't you want to be part of this?"
"I didn't say I didn't want to be part of it."
"So what are you saying?"
Isaac stared at the older woman.
He had only known her a short time, and she already tended to make him feel like he was arguing with his mother. "Maybe we should head to the briefing room," he replied. She returned a condescending smile. Was she doing it on purpose? "Give me a minute to lock the path. I'll meet you there." "I'll give you 5, Rico said. "Come on, Ike." She took the lead off the bridge, heading back along the portside corridor to the room immediately behind it. The briefing room was small, with a single round table and 8 chairs surrounding it. "How well do you know Abel?" Isaac asked as they entered.
"That depends on how you mean it," Rico replied. "She's been in Centurion Intelligence since before my model existed."
It was still hard for Isaac to think of the clones as clones, and that statement made him uneasy. "How long ago was that?"
"The first Rodriguez came out of replication 24 years ago. I'm 16.
"What is that like, being a clone?" He paused. "I'm sorry, maybe that's a rude question."
"It's okay, Sergeant. I know who and what I am, and I'm comfortable with it, even if some people on Proxima aren't. Honestly, it isn't all that much different from your experience as a human. The memories are randomized for uniqueness and implanted. So while I know I've only existed for 16 years in my mind, I've got 28 years of life to look back on. An entire childhood." She smiled. "A pretty good one, too."
"But you were made to be a soldier, right?"
"A Centurion Space Force Marine," she corrected. "And I've loved every minute of it."
"Because you were designed to love it."
"I suppose."
"That doesn't bother you?"
"Why would it? It isn't torture to do what you enjoy doing, whether you were called to it or made for it, as long as you're fulfilling the purpose you're supposed to fulfill."
"I'm sorry if I'm being forward or rude." He waved his hands. "Everything about this is so new to me. I'm trying to process it all."
"I get it," Rico said. "I really do. You can't offend me. I want to help you get acclimated. I'd have to say I think my situation is easier to handle than yours. To wake up after 200 years? You're a strong man to still be sane."
"I promised my wife I would never give up on Earth. That promise, her memory, those are all the motivation I need."
"You're a good man, Ike."
"I try to be." The door to the room opened. Bennett and Abel walked in. They stood at attention inside the door, waiting for Rico to respond.
"Relax," she said. "Have a seat."
She waited a few moments while they found a place around the table. "We can loop the rest of the team in as necessary, but I didn't want either of you withholding anything from me or Ike that may be classified to the others. I'm sure the organization has plenty of secrets."
"We do," Abel admitted. "So tell us how deep the rabbit hole goes,"